Today we have the feast day of one of the shortest saints in the history of the church, St. John Neumann. He was so short that when he rode horseback, his feet could not reach the stirrups. And so the people would laugh at him as he traveled through upstate New York. But he was actually born in Bohemia, present-day Czech Republic. He was born on March 28, 1811. And as a young man, he was a brilliant student. He read voraciously. By the time he was 25, he could speak six languages. But he was a very poor seminarian with the desire to leave Bohemia to go to North America to become a missionary. And he was able to be accepted as a missionary in New York. So he traveled 40 days by sea to get across the ocean, arrived in New York. All he had with him when he arrived was the clothes on his back and $1 in his pocket. So he was ordained in New York as a diocesan priest, and he spent the next 4 years, from 1836 to 1840, traveling throughout the Niagara Falls area, Buffalo, and about an area of 900 square miles, saying Mass, setting up parishes. I've had the privilege of going to some of those parishes that he established about 150 years ago when he was there. And he would just take with him his Mass kit, and he would either walk or travel by horseback, traveling an average of 10 to 20 miles per day. And he did this for 4 years. He would go, he would baptize the children, he would do the weddings, he would instruct the children in the catechism. He always carried candy in his pockets to give out to the kids as he met them. But after about 4 years, he felt very lonely as a priest, as a diocesan priest, so he felt called to join a religious order to get more of a community prayer life. And so he joined the Redemptorists, and he went down to Baltimore, and he made his profession as a Redemptorist. He was the first Redemptorist in America to make his religious profession, which he did in St. Alphonsus Church in Baltimore. How many of you have been to St. Alphonsus Church in Baltimore? Well, you're in for a treat because it's the most beautiful church in the United States, and it's magnificent. So I really hope you have a chance to go there and to see where he made his profession. And it really is a magnificent, very European-looking church. Hundreds and hundreds of statues, stained glass windows. It really is well worth a visit. So for the next number of years, he worked in Maryland, Pennsylvania, even here in Virginia, as well as Ohio. And he traveled, again, by horse, usually. And after a few years, at the age of 41, he was chosen to be the fourth bishop of Philadelphia, which was really, perhaps, that Baltimore and New York were one of the most important dioceses in the United States at that time. And when he got there, he only found that there were two Catholic schools in all of Philadelphia. And by the time he died 8 years later, there were 100 parochial schools that he had helped to establish. He was the third bishop of Philadelphia. By this time, he had learned even more languages. He could now speak 12 languages. And one of his goals as the bishop was to visit every single parish on a regular basis, which he did. But when he was chosen to be the bishop of Philadelphia, there was a lot of opposition to this. Many people were upset that here was this very unimpressive, foreign-speaking man, whereas the wealthy people, the wealthy Italians and the wealthy Irish of Philadelphia wanted a more powerful speaker and wanted somebody that could hang around with all the wealthy people of Philadelphia. But he was not that kind of bishop. Instead, he focused on establishing new churches. He built 80 new churches during the 8 years that he was in the Philadelphia Archdiocese. He also focused on the 40 hours devotion. Some of you are familiar with that, where you have Eucharistic adoration for a period of 40 hours. And his goal was to establish this devotion in every single parish, which by his death, he was able to do that. He worked incredibly, very filled with zeal and energy, and he worked basically to the day of his death. He collapsed in the streets of Philadelphia most likely dying of a heart attack at the young age of 48. During his time as a bishop, he also wrote two catechisms because he felt that it was so important that the people know their faith, especially the children. So he died today's date, January 5th, in the year 1860. And he was well known especially for his gentleness and his kindness. When we look back at his life, we see perhaps he was really the one, he and Mother Seton were perhaps the two of the greatest individuals to ever shape the course of the history of the church in the United States. And he is the first bishop from the United States ever to be canonized. He was beatified in 1963, canonized in 1977. And what I'd really recommend is that besides going to Baltimore to see the Church of St. Alphonsus, go to Philadelphia, go down to 5th and Girard, and you can actually pray at the tomb of St. John Neumann. He's buried there. So we're getting have a great privilege to have a saint, a canonized saint, within just really a few hours from our own parish here at St. Mary's. I wish I had a first-class relic of St. John Neumann. I don't, otherwise I would give you a blessing with it. But, we do have one. Okay, so I will give you a blessing with the relic of St. John Neumann. Thank you. Oh, very good. First-class relic. Through the intercession of St. John Neumann, may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.